You know, after Yom Kippur, we should bring the Shtender back up here.
Oh, sure. I thought it was Patrick.
It's okay.
I'm going to get it.
No, I think I can live with it.
No.
Okay, let's go. Yes. Okay. We had left off. Sorry. We had left off yesterday mentioning the machlokas between the Pnei Yoshua and some of the other achronim about whether an asay is docha to lavim or not. And we pointed out that Tosos here sounds like good support for the Pnei Yoshua, then I say is even docha to lavim. And we wondered what might be the base of that machlokes, although, you know, we can't prove for sure. So, I thought we needed to get into a very, very, very fundamental question about the nature of asay docha lo sase. And this comes up, one of the classic Makoros about this is the Rav Nisim Gaon in Masechta Shabbos. Right, so Rav Nisim Gaon, somehow we're Zoka to have him on the side in Masechta Shabbos. And he talks at great length, but he's saying the same idea the whole time. The Gemara there discusses, asay doche lo sase, and if not doche lo sase shmakaris, which is right at the bottom of our Gemara and daf gimel of beis, and he asks the famous question, based on the Gemara by Elson Dav Zayin, he says that the suffik gadol shenistapkim bo bnei adam v'sholim alav. A big problem people have. V'husha omer me'achar she'anu yodim shazhar shalav kashim mitziv v'yasei heyach yavo asei v'yitch hazhar shalav shehi chamur mimenu miderech hayadosh shachomer docha akal. Right? So, sorry. If we know a lav is more chomer than an asei, then shouldn't the more chomer thing be docha the less chomer thing? Seems to make a lot of sense. And how does he know talk to the lav is chomer than asay? It's a gemara mefureshes by us on on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. The gemara says when they want to explain the havin, there should be docha lo sase sheish bo kares. Okay, this is in the havin, you know, but still the gemara says emer damrin da asi asay v'dochi lo sase grave lo sase sheish bo kares bishamas leitz dochi hadi. First he said yeah, an asay v'doch a lav, but not a lav in kares. Hadar Amr Atu Asay Doche Es Losase Lav Losaser Chomer Minei Vikaasi Asay V'Dochi Lei. Right? He says, after all, Asay is Doche Losase, even though the Losase is more Chomer. Then he says, maybe it could even be Doche Losase Yishba Karis. Okay, we'll come back to the Shaklataya. One thing's very clear in the Gemara. Either they say, even though Losase is more Chomer, the Asay is still Doche nonetheless. So Nisim Gaon says, how does this make sense? L'chomer, the Chomer thing should be Doche the Kal thing, not vice versa. And Rav Nisim Gaon's Mechadesh, you don't have it in front of you, so I'll read it starting from the end of Kuf Lam Gimel Aleph, that ki ha'azhar shalav al zeh ha'tnai nemra. The lav is only al tnai, meaning when Hashem said the lav, he only said, this is asur, if there's no asay. But if there's an assay to do, then I never asked it in the first place. He explains that this will explain the suffig gadol. You're saying, how could something more kal be doing something more chomer? The answer is, when there's an assay, there's no lav in the first place. Not like, oh, well, it's worth doing the aveira because you're getting a mitzvah. Right? That's what his havamina was. People's question. It's worth doing an aveira to chop a mitzvah. Well, that doesn't make sense. The mitzvah is more chomer. But if the aveira is more chomer, then how is it worth it? So his answer is not that you're doing an aveira and doing a mitzvah. No, you're not doing an aveira at all, because Hashem only said the aveira al tanai, that there's no asay. When there's asay, he never made it usher in the first place. That's what he repeats again. Hashem specifically included this when he made the lav. He had seen Mashallah say it's nine you bug. They are saying it's nine in the lav. Chayin Amr Zal Machalemos, you must be Yom HaShabbat Shnei Chavasim Nei Shana, Shnei Medibur Echad Nemru. Erebetz Eish Nachich of Yom HaVo Alehel, Shnei Medibur Echad Nemru. Mashi Iyav Shal Abbas of Dom, Shnei Mer Achaz Dibur Lekim Shnei Mzu Shamanu. Havin Dover Zer Shmor Oso, Ki Yusuf Egod of Argilinu Oso. Okay, so, his rayas are not, you know, his rayas are from Avodah V'Shabbos and from Yibam, which, you know, maybe those are different than the regular rule of Asei Tocha Lo Saaseh, but nonetheless, he understands what's the concept of B'dibur Echad Nemru. He uses the model of B'dibur Echad Nemru, and there's also Medrash, though he doesn't go and says B'dilim Tasalach, and Los Vashan is B'dibur Echad Nemru. B'dibur Echad Nemar means, it's not that here's a mitzvah, here's an aveira, and then we have to put them on a scale, and one of them will beat the other one. No, it's that originally he said, here's the Aveira, but just like he said, a Kohen can't be Matami, but he can for Krovin. And just like he said, you know, what did he say? I'm trying to say. Okay. Just like he said, a Kohen can't be Matami, but he can for Krovin. He specifically said, the Kohen can be Matami for Krovin. Like, it's not Usur, it's okay. Likewise, Hashem implicitly said on every lav, this is the lav, but I didn't forbid it, b'makom asei. That was his judgment call, to not forbid it, b'makom asei. Therefore, there's no lav at all. You're only doing an asei, so it's pashut.
This argument helped bolster the idea of being kosher over
the kriya. Ah, brilliant. Excellent point. That definitely sounds more like what we think of as hutra than dechuya. So what he's saying is that his idea of asei docha lo saaseh is closer to what we think of Hutra than what we think of as Dechuya. Excellent. We will, whether, you know, how far to take that closer, I'll come back to in a few moments. That is a very good way of formulating it. So, here is the Rav Nissim goings, Chakira, Asei, Dokolo Sase, the Havamina Rav Nissim goin, the Havamina Rav Nissim goin, is that there is an Aveira, there is a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is more important. Right? That's what docha sounds like. Right? However, Nissan Gaon himself says that no. at all, because lo nemra, b'makom mitzvah. Right? That Asei Docha Lo Saaseh means there's no avir at all. Hashem never meant the avir to apply in this case. Not that there's an avir, but you're being docha.
It sort of seems to say, it's sort of like, when the Chachamim made the Kodesh,
Exactly. Now, this is, this line of Rav Nissim Gaon is picked up by the Sefer Achinuch that I put on the new sheet. He says it at not quite as great a length of Rav Nissim Gaon, as much detail. The Chinuch says that the way Asei Docha Lo Saaseh works, that it's a Tanai, Hashem never meant the Lav to apply in this circumstance. And then a lot of Achronim pick up on this formulation as well. I think the Shlah says in a few places, okay, plenty of Achronim hold this formulation. Just to contrast this for a moment, the Sheet of the, there's a throwaway line in the Har Tzvi that I noticed that I have on Makor Sheet number 8. It's a total lack of orcha. He just wants to find a case of an aveira. He wants to make maybe a chiddush that kohen gadol balmana because it's an aveira she's nifsla, but if it would not be an aveira, it'd be mutter. What's the case? Kohen gadol balmana would not be an aveira. So he says, "V'chor yishlo harim hadar min kedusha malak kohen gadol balmana she can be as aveira." Masha the bli aveira kosh nafli even l'mesh l'makuna. Sounds like if he can be born on one without an Aveira, like I was talking about Almana Me'iris and Mida Oraisa, then she wouldn't be Nefzalim and Akuna. But Ulai Nomar, though, here's the important part, they'll call upon him Gal be Yibam over Losase. So about a Seg Docha Losase, Yibam being Docha, the Lav of Almana Kohen Gadol, says, no, that's still an Aveira. Elishu over Beheter. That's still an Aveira. You're not calling that not an Aveira. The Aveira does apply. You're just allowed to be over that Aveira. Kumo Gol Gadola Aveira Lishma. It's like Gdol Avir Lishma. You know what? Sometimes it's worth doing an Avira. Right? What's the kind of Gdol Avir Lishma? This is a very strong, radical comparison. Gdol Avir Lishma is the kind of thing that, you know, we like to use very, very rarely and only when absolutely necessary. Right? What's the idea of Gdol Avir Lishma? The Gemara only says it in rare cases, like Yael and Rishonim compare it to Esther. You know, we're talking about people who are saving the entire Jewish people and, you know, changing the course of history. So that's Gdol Avir Lishma. But there is such a concept. That's something that Achronim replied to Eliyahu B'har HaKarmel in Horasha. There's a concept of Avir Lishma. Sometimes we're doing an Avira. Okay, those are very drastic and rare circumstances. If you find yourself saying Gdol Avir Lishma more often than once in a Yovel, then you're Reform. But the Hartzvi says no. He thinks every essay is an Avir Lishma. Itaka is an Avira. But it's worth doing it. But it's worth doing it nonetheless. He says there is a law. Before she answers them, these go. Ella denidchev rashi laver, but you're allowed to violate it. Okay. Then he gets back to his original discussion, which is not germane for our purposes. Now the Hartzvi is very clear. There is an Avira and you're allowed to violate it. Whoever heard that it's good to do Aviros? No, Gdol Avir Lishma. Sometimes it is good to do Averos when the ends justify the means. And apparently, he thinks that we can be very liberal about when we assume the ends justify the means. When these people think the ends are not going to justify the means. Must be, there's no answer at all. But he thinks the ends do justify the means. And he says that about every Asi Do Chalasa. That's Pshat in Asi Do Chalasa, that it's worth doing it. And this... See, this is a chakira that's discussed beforeish by, I only discovered this in time to put it on Daf B'Koros 9, the Shut Ma'arik. If you would look at the whole, even this passage in the Ma'arik is a little hard to understand properly. If you look at the whole tshuva of the Ma'arik here, it's a little funny. I'm not sure what simon it is. In my computer, it's Simon Kuf Lamed Tes. In my book, it's Simon Kuf Lamed Ches. Some people quote it as Simon Kuf Mem. I'm not sure why, what happens to the numbering of the Shut Ma'arik. But in any case, on the computer, it's Kuf Lamed Tes. If you read the whole thing, it's very, very hard to understand what he's talking about. Partially because he's just, you know, the Lashon is very difficult. Partially because he's responding to some very, very in-depth letter that someone wrote him that we don't seem to have a copy of. But I think it's pretty clear that what's he arguing with his correspondent here. I don't know who his correspondent was. Basher Kasavta, the Tam D'Chiyaseh Sashmi, the Kevin Nimir Chutz called Dovashari. Mi Bachutz is a code word that's a jargon word that many of us are not so familiar with nowadays. If we're not, you know, familiar with classic, you know, 16th century pilpul, but it's what some yeshivas nowadays, they use the phrase svaras chutz. Mibachutz means what you would have thought without the chush, right? There's some yeshivas they say svaras chutz nowadays. So b'asher kasav the time the chiyas say lo sasim the kevim the chutz called dover shari igul meim the chiyas or a krab lo sasa lo diber b'loshem makom mitzvah klal. Climate system, domehem. So basically, the person who wrote this letter to the Ma'arik is saying over Rav Nisim Gaon. He says, what's the reason? The reason is that when Hashem wrote the law, he never meant that it was to cover the case of a mitzvah. He only meant to cover other cases. And well, how do we know that? Because since Misvaras Chutz, right? A priori, everything's mutter. Therefore, when Hashem says something's usher, he must be saying it in the most limited circumstances because he's making a chiddush by ushering it. So Mestama, what he meant to say when Hashem says, you know, don't wear shatnez. He meant don't wear shatnez when it's not tzitzis. And when Hashem said, you know, the again on the Daraisa level we're talking, when Hashem said the Kohen don't marry Grusha, he meant if it's not, you know, in case of non-yibum, etc. So Amina d'chinay v'shachmar l'shmaitza. He thinks that this fellow didn't know what he was talking about. He must have been asleep when he wrote this. Chada da loshen ase dochelo sasolo mashmahachi. Right. This is what we pointed out before, that aseidochelo sasa doesn't sound like hutra. Rav Nisimon sounds like hutra, like it's not usher at all. It says aseidochelo sasa. Docha means it really is usher, but we have a counterweight to push it off. So he says, no, I don't like that idea that it was not an Avera at all. It is an Avera. We just have the right to do the Avera anyway. But oh, the adrabi yishonel idach yisav eimakim mechutz miftar could be called makom. Mitzvah say im kain islam the mitzvah lochiva torah v'makom lo sasa klav and then shloim chayv v'chilu son shel pishdan, right? And he says, and I don't like your whole idea about svaras chutz. You're saying, well, a priori there are nothing's aser, so therefore Hashem asked, he must have only asked in limited circumstances. That's it. A priori, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do mitzvos. So Hashem made the mitzvah, he probably only made the mitzvah in limited circumstances. So why say when Hashem aser chatnis, he meant only if it's not tzitzis? Why not say when Hashem told us where tzitzis, he meant only if it's not wool and linen? The Gears is also for some reason very messed up. That's another reason why it's very hard to understand this. He says, and if you're going to say Eina Chanami, really there's no mitzvah of shatnez in tzitzis, that's impossible. Look, when the Malach told Rav Katina, he said, why don't you have tcheles on your linen garment? Says, you're going to punish me for not doing an asay. I mean, he had a valid reason, Rabbanim, but still. According to Rashi and Riff, we're not getting into that there. Rav Katina had white but didn't have tcheles on his linen garment because he didn't want to put wool on linen because of the gzeirah Rabbanim. And still, the Malach said, why aren't you being mekayim an asay? Why don't you think of buy different clothing and be mekayim the asay? So therefore, we see clearly that it's an asay. All right, he didn't need to prove us that. We all know it's an asay of climbing sitzes. But oh, delfis varaska gamblo sasishish vakaris havali lomer delitchil asay mahay taima. But this is based on the hav being the zayin of alpha unkamblo dein asay dochlo sasishish vakaris. According to you, if you think it's not, if you basically, to use Weissman's words, think it really is hutra, then it should be dochlo sasishish vakaris also. Who cares how chomer it is? Just say al tanai Hashem never asked it for makom mitzvah, right? The old delfis varascha, the amar to lav mishum tzad chomer daseh umkain hechash ein aseh doch alav gem v'yom tov shita shulok mi jomni of the kuli alma v'anach chazil echem dolin farshim shvirish to afgav the ein aseh doch losasa yom tov shiv v'yom tov aseh losasa mikol makom lo loki el losasa v'yom tov makom aseh da aseh doch lav v'yom tov lo koi kim ba aseh v'shabasum shita zeh hefach kavan ascha. Let us put that on the side and come back to that perhaps. Cherry Kosva, Tosberg, Basu the Iravin, Vizelashon of Odishlom Shaina Say Dokolo Sash of Mikdash, can we repair down Khatas? Ad me yesh lidchos lo dummy. The high time of Mishum Losasimidosh Khomer. Right, Tos says, now say will not talk a lava in the mikdash, a lava of the mikdash. She says, why? Because a lava of the mikdash is chomer. Lomitri kame say, but Tos lo shaykh shom chomer de shaykh nami bi alma. He wants to say, how come an asay could be doche baltosif in the mikdash, but not lavim about kachim? He says, baltos not so chomer, it applies to everything. But lavim, that's specific to the mikdash, are more chomer. He doesn't care about Tos's main point, but Tos used the lashon of chumrah, right? After koma kami shloma came to the mikdash lo mitri ad kan loshon tosos, reilecha behedish dovi tolim shom kula v'chumrah v'loka shor chashavta atah. The ain't tzarek l'harek bazer yoser. What is the maharik saying? Saying you think it's a t'nai? That's ridiculous. Loshon docha sounds like it's an aveira that you're docha, not that it's a t'nai, it's never an aveira in the first place. And if you think it's a t'nai, then you should also be docha seishish bakaris. If it's a t'nai, then it doesn't matter if it's a really bad lav or not. Hashem made a t'nai that he didn't mean to answer the lav, makom asay. But for me, it's a matter of chumrah. I think the asay is more chumrah than the lav. Right? Like, I think the asay is more chumrah than the lav. I think there is an aveira, but the mitzvah's worth being dochet, then it makes sense, worth being docha. Small aveira, not a big aveira, right? Without karis, worth being docha. With karis, not worth being docha, and that's why Tos use lashon of chumra. A lav that's chumra, I can't be docha, that's not worth it. But a lav that's kal, I can be docha. So the Ma'arik seems to be clearly against the side of Rav Nissim Gaon. He didn't put Rav Nissim Gaon, I don't know if he had a copy of Rav Nissim Gaon, just because our printers put it on the page of the Gemara. Doesn't mean that people before printing had it on the page of the Gemara. But he seems to think that, no, it's not a t'nai. It's not that the aveir doesn't apply at all. The aveir does apply, but it's worth doing. But it's worth doing anyway. Now, we just have to answer one question. Right? What about the fact that a lav is chomer, more chomer than an asay, right? So if you hold like Rav Nissim Gaon, there's no lav in the first place, then this makes perfect sense. Who cares if the lav is more chomer than the asay? When the lav applies, it's more chomer than the asay. But Baba Malka Mitzvah should never say the lav in the first place. It's like saying the lav of Yontif is very chomer. Therefore, you shouldn't build buildings. But today I can build a building because today the law doesn't apply. And it's not chomer at all. Likewise, lavim are very chomer, but makom tzitzis, it's not a lav at all, so there's zero chomer. But what if you take the approach of the Har Tzvi and the Maharik? You say, no, the assay is, there is an avera, but it's worth it because the assay overrides the lav. How could the assay override the lav if the lav is more chomer? So, I think you could answer this. Anyone want to answer this to me? How can the assay override the lav if the lav is more chomer? Doesn't make sense. That's from Nisim Gon's Kasha, right?
I mean, what the Rambam brings down, though, is that sort of answers it all.
How so? You're right. Explain.
He just says about importance and not.
Aha, beautiful. Okay, great. So, I think there are two approaches to this, one of which is very, very nice, is the Ramban. But you know what? Before we even come back to the Ramban, I want to, it's always nicer to end with something very, very exceedingly clever. So I want to start with the Megillas Esther. Right? There is a Megillas Esther just in case someone wasn't familiar with the Megillas Esther. I gave a little clue here, right? I'll say for Mitzvah Shel Rambam. It's one of the most famous achronim on the Sefer Mitzvot. It's in all the printings. I think in some of them it even gets to be the highest of the page of all the achronim. He's Agav Orcha. They were discussing whether to count Mitzvahs Klolios or not towards the 613. There are bats of something of the hive, Right, what does the Rambam say? Shorish Dalit. She'ein roi limnos hatzivuim ha'kolum ator kula. Don't count general commandments to keep the whole Torah. Those are too general, they don't count. And he had a specific problem with the... He had a specific problem because the Bahag... Find my place here in this version... All right. Here we are. Okay. The Bahag counted Losasar Mikol Advarim, not to abandon the Torah. So the Rabban defended me. Yeah. It's important to count that because it adds a lav, if you don't wear tzitzis or sit in a sukkah, because it says don't neglect the mitzvos. And it's important to know that you can add a lav to every essay because the lav is more chomer. So the Megillas Esther chimes in. He says, in Cain. Then you should also, if you're going to count the general lav, because it's a chiddush to add a lav, then count the general assay also, kedoshim tiyu or something like that. Why? Because it adds an assay to every lav. Oh, what's the chiddush of adding an assay to every lav? Because everyone knows an assay is more chomer than a lav. An assay is more chomer than a lav. How does he prove an assay is more chomer than a lav? So what did Megillas Esther say? He apparently thinks, no, it's a havmin in our Gemara that lav is more chomer than assay. That's a nice havmin. But Megillas Esther, he's not saying anything about assay doko lo sase, right? But the Megillas Esther, we'll just call it Shitas Megillas Esther, because he's not answering our question. He has nothing to do with assay doko lo sase. He's just talking about something else. What does he say? He says an assay is more chomer than a lav. What's his proof that an assay is more chomer than a lav? Anyone? What's Megillas Esther's proof that an assay is more chomer than a lav? What?
Yeah, it's
a proof. But that's what he's trying to establish, but he needs a proof. That's his own idea. So, what's the onus for violating a lav? For violating a lav? 39, 40, whatever you call it, 39 malchus. Okay, so the Gemara Suba says if you violate the law, you get 39. But for an assay, Right? It's a mafurish gemara. He says that nasei is more chomer. But medvar mu mitzvah sase, that's you get 39. Of mitzvah seik, you want to omer lo asei suk ve'inu osa lulu ve'inu osa makin osa ad shetetze nafsho. So his pashna says more chomer. For a lav, we give you a few malkas and dafka. Anyone learn seven malkas? No, we dafka round down to the to the multiple of three. That won't be yotze nafsho, right? The mafurish more in makos that we have to have a special doctor give an omen to make sure that we give you less than ad shetetze nafsho. But for an asei, we're makin osa ad shetetze nafsho. So that proves that Naseh is more chomer than a lav. Okay, it was a cute havamina in Daf Zayin that a lav was more chomer. It's a nice havamina, but really Naseh is more chomer than a lav. That's before Megillas Esther. He doesn't tie it into Aseh Dov Halos Aseh. But if you put two and two together, you say, well, of course it's Aseh Dov Halos Aseh. Of course it makes sense that it should be worth it even though there is a lav, because Naseh is more chomer. And he seems to have a good proof. Is this really a good proof? Anyone? So the Meiri says right here, that's not a good proof. Number one, maybe that's a din derabanan, and you can't really bring any raya's from it. So maybe it's just a din derabanan. Lachor, it doesn't say anywhere in the chumash. Well, it doesn't explicitly say anywhere in the chumash, right? So maybe that's only din derabanan. You can't bring a raya. That is true, but I don't love that answer so much because still, wouldn't make still doesn't make so much sense that if something's less chumash, you give more of an onesh, even be derabanan. I think what you really might need to say is the other thing that Meiri says here, or what most Rishonim say, is this really a good proof that a say is more chomer than a lav?
Isn't he just proving that not doing an essay is worse than doing a lav?
Okay, but that's still a pretty big chiddush, right?
But that wouldn't prove that doing an essay overrides doing a lav.
It would, because let's think about it. Let's say tzitzis and shatnas, right? So I have the choice. Either I can not wear tzitzis, or I can wear shatnas. So it's better to violate a lav than to not wear tzitzis, right? It would work out for us, right? Because if you don't do the essay, then that's not doing an essay. But is this really a good proof? What's the diuk in the lashon of when we're makin osa ad shetetze nafsho?
You're really not giving him more. You give him each, you have a sfar, you're giving him each time one. Did you do it? No, I'll give you another one.
Okay.
So it's not like you're giving him actually less. It's a continuum.
You're really just giving him one. Just you can give him one. A lav, he only violated once. But an assay, every second he's not doing it again. So really, you only give him one maka. It's really much more kal. However, he keeps not doing the assay again and again, that idiot. So what can you do? Okay, that's also a good answer. But I think that just maybe even a clearer way of saying that same idea.
It's not an onus. It's not like a motivation to the mitzvah.
Exactly. That's not an onesh. That's motivation to a mitzvah. Every legal system in the world knows that, right? What can they put you in jail for forever without a jury trial? Anyone know why you can sit in jail forever in the United States without a jury trial? Only one thing. They can put you in jail forever without a jury trial. For contempt of court. For not listening to the dayan. Right? If you, the Dayan says, come in, this is actually happening with, the Chassid in California, I think. The Dayan says, come in, the judge says, come and give testimony, or do whatever. Come in and do what I say. He says, no, I won't listen to you. He says, fine, you're going to jail until you listen to me. Why? How can you put him in jail without a trial, without a jury? Isn't that against the Constitution? So no, it's a svara. It's such a good svara that works in Halacha, and it works in California, it works everywhere, because it's a good svara. He's not punishing him for doing something wrong. He is motivating him to do what's right. A punishment means it's too late. After the fact it's too late, that's a punishment. Taka the punishment? What do you mean too late? Let's say one guy ate a cheeseburger, and okay, Kedasu Kedin, they made a real bus called the Raisa, and the other guy didn't sit in the sukkah, and now it's Isruchag. The guy who ate a cheeseburger will get Malkus. The guy who didn't sit in the sukkah, and now it's Isruchag, what'll he get? He'll get nothing. There is no punishment for not violating an assay. The assay is less chomer. There's no onesh for not violating an assay. The only time we give the guy Malkus is if it's still sukkahs and he refused to build the sukkah. Why? Because we're not punishing him for what he did wrong. Apparently, Megillas Esther thinks we are. We're not punishing him for what he did wrong. We're just motivating him to do the right thing. And that's not because Nasei is more chomer. It's just because in a lab, we can't motivate you to do the right thing. Because what do? Hit you until you say, I won't eat pork? Like, you'll go home and eat pork anyway, right? There's really no way to coerce you until you stop eating pork. Because you can't, like, there's no way you can commit yourself to not eating pork. You'll just say you're not going to eat pork and go home and eat it again. But there is a way to coerce you to do mitzvah say. We'll keep beating you up until you put on the tefillin and the tzitzis and, you know, whatever it may be. So it's not because, I think that's the simple shot. The simple shot is not that Aseh is more chomer. And Aseh is less chomer. V'haraya bidi eved, you get less of an onesh. The only difference that is that in an Aseh, lechachila, we can motivate you. That's not an onesh, that's motivating. And in a lav, there's no good hechitimtza. It just doesn't work out that we can motivate you to stop doing a lav. Maybe if we could have such a situation, it would be. Let's say the guy only had one piece of pork in the whole country and he was planning to eat it. So maybe we'd beat him up till he burned that piece of pork in the fireplace and couldn't eat it anymore, and we'd motivate him. But usually, we can't really motivate you to not do a lav because you'll just go home and do the lav anyway because there's lots of lav to be had wherever you want. But we can motivate you to do an assay because you'll do it in front of us and we'll see that you do it. So that's the simple shot of how to be docha his raya. He has a raya from a makid oso ad shetetze nafsho. And how is everyone else in the world docha the raya? Either you can say midrabanan, that's what you've just said, and the Me'iri here, or you could say it's really only one maka. He just keeps doing it again and again. That's a very clever idea. Or you could say, this is not an onesh, right? This is a motivation. This is not midin onesh. This is midin kol yisrael or eden zev zev. We want to get you to do the right thing. Who knows? It could be that maybe, you know, in some circumstance they could think of better ways to acquire people. Okay, but in this circumstance, this is the best way to acquire the guy. So we motivate him to do the right thing. But that's not a proof of more chomer, because that's not. The onesh is actually much less chomer. The onesh is zero malchus. That's motivation, which is a different inyan, and that's what the Me'iri says here in his second answer.
It seems to kind of play one game together. The mice, it doesn't do bits, but you get people wish like
it. No, because what are the punishment? A punishment, it means something you're stuck with, right? Something you have coming to you that you're stuck with. That's a punishment. You're never stuck with a punishment for not doing an essay. Being Bezdin never brings you in and says, you didn't do an essay, let's beat you. They bring you in and say, right now, go shake a lulav. And if you say no, then they beat you. But you never get an onesh, because you always have the option of picking up a lulav, right? So you never get an onesh. You're giving yourself an onesh if you don't want to do it. But we never say, like in lavim, what if the guy says, I did tshuva, now I'm so frum, I would never do that again, I'm so much better, you know, I don't really need this punishment anymore, I'm on the derech. No, we give him malchus anyway, right? What if a guy kills someone, and he says, but now I'm a transformed man, I found religion in prison, and, you know, and my whole life is dedicated to serving the Lord, etc. We kill him anyway. An onesh means you have it coming to you. In an assay, you never have it coming to you. We never give you something because you didn't do the assay. We just give you something if you don't do it right now, but you always have the ability to get out of it. And that's why they can put this fellow in California in jail for the rest of his life for refusing to listen to the judge. Because they say, we're not punishing you. You don't have the right to a jury trial. We're not punishing you. Just come do what we say and we'll let you out. We're not punishing you. It's totally up to you. And I think that's a good svar. It's not really an onesh. Okay, so it could be that's an interesting question. What if you did miss the chance? So what I'm claiming this third answer is that if you missed the chance, then you wouldn't get Makanos Achetetze Nafsho. What the Megillas Esther might say, even if you missed the chance, you'd be Makanos Achetetze Nafsho, right? And in the middle, it could be, if you missed the chance, we'd give you 39, but Lahore, that would be Midrabanan, so it'd still be more cow, because it's 39 Midrabanan. Okay, so we can get out of his Raya, and maybe a Nafgamina is, Megillas Esther might think, if Sukkot ended, we'll still give you lots of makos on Yisru Chag. But the mainstream psak is that no, once Sukkot is ended, we won't do anything to you on Yisru Chag because you don't get an onesh.
Miri mentions you give makos until he does it or until he makes it. Tonight he'll do it.
Right. The Miri says he can either do it or agree to do it, which is my ask. Why not have the same thing for a lav?
No, for the essay, for next year.
Right. I hear the taina. Okay, that's a good horror. Okay, that is the Megillus Esther, but this is very radical that he thinks that say is more chomer than a lav. This is not the mainstream approach at all. So what Morty pointed out is, very nicely, the Ramban. So, everyone who learns this Gemara knows to look up the Ramban, right? You don't have to be like a big bucky or have like a special super duper Masorah to know you should look up the Ramban. Because then Dav Zayin or Rikiv Eger on the side, they go, and that tells you, oh, you should look at that Ramban. But the question of what the Ramban means. I saw in a sefer called, not such a popular sefer nowadays, called the Yad Malachi. It's a very interesting sefer. It goes through Klolei Hashas, right? All different, like, you know, rules of Shas. So in Klolei HaTalmud, Siman 515, the Yad Malachi brings down the Ramban. He says, oh, the Ramban says an aseh is more chomer than a lav. And then he starts bringing the rayas, 20 rayas from all over Shas, that he doesn't think the Megillus Esther is right, and aseh is not more chomer than a lav. But Morty points out, no, the Ramban wasn't saying the same thing as the Megillus Esther. Right? This is a false accusation that the Yad Malachi in Siman 515 has against the Ramban. The Ramban was saying something much more clever, right? That's what you meant to say, Morty? The Ramban is, I think absolutely correctly, the Ramban is saying something much more clever than that. What's the Ramban saying? It says, V'emes hu gam ken ki mida zocha ramzo mitzvah seh v'o yotz mida ha'ava v'hu mida ha'rachavim ki osa mitzvah adonav ohav v'o adonav rach. Well, okay, this is a little Kabbalistic, but just a little bit so we can still understand it. You know, he says, zocha has to do with mitzvah seh, which has to do with ava, which has to do with mitzvah ha'rachavim ki osa mitzvah adonav ohav adonav rachav alav. So that's ava. Umida shomer mitzvah slosa seh v'hu l'midas ha'din v'yotza v'midas ha'yira. Okay, the midas ha'din, midas ha'rachavim. That will leave for the Kabbalah Shir. But what's he saying in strict halachic terms? Aseh is a kiyum of Ava, and refraining from Lavim is a kiyum of Yira. Therefore, he says, V'lochein mitzvahs, and that makes sense to us in common sense, V'lochein mitzvahs aseh gedolim mitzvahs aseh. That's why mitzvahs aseh is better than a los aseh. K'mosha Ava gedolim Yira, because everyone knows Ava is gedolim Yira, right? That's all over Shas, they assume. Ava's gedula meyira, right? They say chuv meyira is this good, but chuv me'ava is better. And they have all these machlokes and Eob and everyone who's over there. Me'ava meyira. It's clear in Chazal that all over Shas avoda me'ava is better than avoda meyira. Okay, the Mefarshim point out that doesn't mean that someone should try to have 100% ava and 0% yira, right? As Rav Lichtenstein always answers when guys say, ask him, is Torah more important than English literature? He says absolutely, much much more important. He says. They should always learn Torah, and why is it mutter to ever learn English literature? So Lichtenstein says, you know, bread is more important than butter. You live on bread, you know, not on butter, but you don't want just a loaf of bread. It's nice to have bread with a little butter, and the bread is better too. So there's that's a good mashal, but the point is that, obviously, even if Ava is gedolah than Yira, it doesn't mean so you should aim for 100% Ava, 0% Yira to maximize your avodas Hashem. It's still, the Ava is better with a little Yira, which is the, you know, the Mefarshim will say, that's Shabbat Mishan Avos, right? Ella Havuk Avodim Sham Shabbat Shalom Nas the Kala Prasva Ava Bavi Mor Shabbat Malechem with a little year or two. Okay, but nonetheless, when push comes to Shav, Ava is Gedola Me Yira. Ki Makayim Va'os V'Guf V'Mona Rots and Adonav Hu Godli and Nishma Asas Arava Inav. It's better, it's more important to do the Ava and do the Aseh than to refrain from the Lava. L'chein Amr Dasi Aseh V'Dola Zazi. That's Shabbat and Aseh Dochelo Saseh. So he says, but what's his chap here? His chap here is did he use the word ava is chomer miyira and I say is chomer milosasa? What word did he use? Gadol or gadola, right? It's better than. But if it's better than, is that the same as being more chomer? No. Lav is chomer, but an aseh is gadol. But now that's not the whole brilliance of the Ramban, right? So far, okay, I could have figured that out too, you know. But what did the Ramban say? The Ramban say, Aseh is gedola mi lav. Although a lav is more chomer than an aseh. But if the aseh is more important, why is the lav more chomer? And here, so the Ramban's really having a nice chiddush. Why is the onesh of a lav bigger? And you malchus and misa, the enos and kinyan dimens, they claw a little bit more. Then, come a little bit since the enos sukkah and the oses, and then you mokus rachikavu lasu, those states and apsho. Here he also gives what you know, what number three we have here, right? He says that there's a big onus for Lavin, Malchus, and Misa, but there's no onus at all for Asay, except for Mordim, except for contempt of court, right? Unless the guy refuses to do it. But for not doing an Asay, there's no onus, only for rebelling and for contempt of court, which is ultimately contempt of Hashem. You get a chitase and option, or you do it, right? There's no onus for not doing an Asay. Just if you rebel, we beat you up until you're motivated to agree. So what's he saying to things that? An Asay is better than a lav. An Asay is more important than a lav. But why is a lav more chomer then? He says, Pashat, Asay is better than a lav because Ava beats Yira. But by definition, what has to be chomer, Ava or Yira? Where does chumra fit in? To Ava or to Yira? Chumra means you get a big punishment. Getting a big punishment goes with the concept of Yira. Inherent in Yira is the concept of chumra, of big punishments. Right? That's not because Yira is better. No, Ava is better. Goofa, because you get such big an onesh, proves why an Asay is better. Because Asay is Ava, which is transcend onshim. And the Lav is just Yira, which has these big onshim. So of course, mitzad onesh, Lav chomer mi Asay, mitzad ha-onesh, of course the Lav is more chomer than the Asay. Not because it's more important. Because the nature of Yira is that Yira needs more punishments. That's what makes it Yira. But Gufa, because it's more chomer and has a big onesh, that's exactly why it's not as good and it's not gadol. Because Gufa, the fact that it's an onesh, is because it comes from Yira. And Gufa, Yira can never be as big as Ava. So by definition, things without an onesh are always better than things with an onesh. Because things without an onesh are Ava, and Ava is good only Yira. And don't say, if the Ava is better, why did the Yira get the big onesh? Because, of course, Yira gets onesh. That's the definition of Yira. You get an onesh. Right? It's not like Av and Yira were equal and Hashem decided to put the punishment on Yira. No, Av is much better. But Yira has the punishment because then it wouldn't be Yira if there was no punishment. Yira has to have a punishment. That's the chaf of the Ramban. Gufa, the reason Alosa says is less, is the reason it has the big punishment.
Isn't it against what the Ramban said in Shor Shadalad? That we have these general lobbying to add a lob to every Asa? Isn't that collapse the whole distinction?
Well, no, for two reasons. Number one, technically, not everything he says to defend the Bahá'í and the Sharashim does he agree with. Sometimes it's explicitly, and sometimes you can just die by comparison. But also, no, he might have just meant to add an element of Yira and a big onesh, not to make it more gadol in the big picture.
No, but I'm saying that if, why are we adding onesh to an asa? That's going to take away all the ava and make it into
Yira. I hear what you're timing. That is a ha'ara. That's a good ha'ara. But it still doesn't bother me overly much because he's not necessarily saying this for himself. And Lav Davka, whatever he says to defend the Bahag there, he says for himself, just as we know, the derech of the Ramban and Hashtafa was to defend the Doros HaGaonim and Doros HaKodmin against the Johnny-come-latelys of the Rishonim, right? Which is exactly why he defended the Rif against the Raig in the Sefer Tzchus and the Rif against the Baal Mor in the Melchamos, and that's exactly why he wrote these Hasagos on the Shurashim, to defend the Bahag against the Rambam. But Lav Davka, that means that it's always his own Shita. He says, in a few places even, he says, I wouldn't talk a pasuk in that way, but I want you to know it's not Mokrach, and don't like have chutzpah against the Doros HaKodman. Okay. So these are two fundamentally different ways of looking at Asay, Doche, Lo Sase. Now, what might be a nafgamina between them? Enough gemina between them. Okay, you know, I'm not going to go back to the part I read very quickly from the Ma'arik because, you know, one has to analyze that, and it's not so pashut. But you can look at that on your own if you want to be ma'ayin. If you want to be ma'ayin further, but one nafgamina might be what we call Hutra versus Dechuya. What did we say with the definition of Hutra and Dechuya? Anyone remember? And how does Chazal use the words Hutra and Dechuya? What's the practical difference between Hutra and Dechuya?
You want to add other things at the same time and they're not related.
Right. Whether, right?
Whether you can do it, we can do it in another way.
Exactly. What if you could find a way out after the Kaim Shnehem? For example, the classic formulation of Dechuya, if you just turn the Afchaf and Beis and look at the statement for a second, in the fourth wide line of the Chafam Beis, fourth wide line, the middle, daf chaf and beis, the amri shlokish. Kol makom sha'ata motzei aseh velo sase, im ata yochol l'kayim shneihem mutav, v'im lav yavo aseh v'yidche es lo sase. This is a principle all over Shas, l'chorah, that Rish Lakish says when it comes to aseh yochol lo sase, if you can find a way to avoid it, then you have to. Only if you're stuck and there's no way to avoid it, then the assay is dochelo saseh. That's what we call dochuya. Only if you're stuck and absolutely necessary. So this makes sense that assay dochelo saseh, right? If you take the approach of the Hartzvi and the Marik, that there is an avera, but it's worth it anyway. Then it makes sense. There is an avera, it's worth it if absolutely necessary. If you can do the assay, not do the avera, then what the heck to do the avera, right? If you can get around it, if I can wear tzitzis without the shatnez, then what's the heter to do shatnez? I'm really doing an aveira. I can only really do an aveira if absolutely necessary. So that's a dochelo saseh. This is the din of Reish Lakish, right? That im efshar l'kayim shnehem, then it's usur to violate the law. Right? And that makes perfect sense. That's why I say dochelo saseh is Docha, that's not what Rick says. Dechuya, only when absolutely necessary, because you're really doing an Aveira. You can't really do an Aveira unless it's absolutely necessary. Okay, what is the other side of the coin? Right? What is Rav Nissim going? Now, what is Rav Nissim going to say here? What's the Chinuch going to say here? And all the Akronim will follow them going to say here? After all, they make it sound more like Kotra. Oh, it's just not an Aveira at all. Don't worry about it. So fine, as long as I'm doing the mitzvah, like, why should I worry about it? So I think you have to give one of three answers to defend them. Either one, maybe, they hold like the Melo Haroim. Okay. The Melo Haroim, this particular sheet of his got famous just because it's so interesting. It's quoted, I don't have a Melo Haroim, maybe it's on HebrewBooks.org, but it's quoted in the Stechemed. Oh, I meant to bring a Xerox. Okay. The Stechemed quotes the Melo Haroim. Maybe we'll get to see next month the Tosos from Melo Haroim's baseline and why Pasha says Tosos didn't really mean that. But the Melo Haroim says, what? Oh, you wrote it. Oh, Givaldic. Yeah, excellent. So, etc. So the Melo Haroim, what does he say? He says, Mi d'oraisa, it's hutra. Mi d'oraisa, even if you could find a way out, it's still okay to violate a law to do an assay. Because Hashem never said a law in the first place when there's an assay. Mi d'oraisa, it's totally hutra. Assay d'ochelos assay, that lashon is not based on the d'oraisa. Mi d'oraisa, it's totally hutra. Reish Lakish is only a gzeira midrabanan. Reish Lakish made a gzeira drabanan. He says, you know what, midrabanan, let's say, you know, if it's not necessary, don't do it, gzeira, because, you know, if it's not necessary, you violate a law, then gzeira, people will just start violating the law all the time. You know, you don't want people to make a mistake and, you know, extrapolate inaccurately. But he says, Reish Lakish is only gzeira drabanan. Mida oraisa, I say, Mater lo sas, it's mutter lo gamri, even if you do have a way out, even if not necessary, it's mutter. Why? Obviously, lo ro holds like Nisim going, because Hashem never meant the law to apply to makom aseh. So that's what he says, mi d'oraisa hutra, right? Even, what does hutra mean? Even if not absolutely necessary. He basically denies Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is a new gzeirat rabbanan, that's not the ikar din. Okay. Or you could say, like the Chiddush of the Ramban here, right here, right? And Avdal and Beis, now again, you don't have to worry about whether you're following the context of this Ramban or not. So we'll get to Avdal and Beis, we'll be plenty in this Ramban. You know, this Ramban is very sophisticated in Avdal and Beis. But the Ramban says here, I'll just sort of tell you what he says now. He says that Peirush, the less one Duresh Lakish. Right, he says, this is a famous question of Dalin Beis. We'll have to spend a whole, couple days on this question. The Gemara says of Dalin Beis that you're allowed to put linen strings on a wool beged. Now, wool strings on a linen beged, why is it absolutely necessary to put wool strings on a linen beged? Back in the day, or because tchelas has to be wool, so you have to put wool strings on a linen beged, right? But you can also put linen strings on a wool beged. You never have to put linen strings on a wool beged. Why are you allowed to do that? You don't have to. Just put wool strings on a wool beged. So the Ramban says, we see from here that we don't hold like Rish Lakish. We hold Hutra, right? Or I don't know if he says we, but at least. But then he has a say. At least the Gemara Nafdalim and Beis, right? Paskins against Reitz Lakish. Now, okay, if you want to know what, I'm not Paskin Holchel Maisa in the Ramban here. So you'd have to look at the Ramban in other places in Shas and see if he's still held the same thing every place in Shas, which the footnotes, I don't have footnotes here, point out that no, the Ramban in other places in Shas is not so sure about this. But another option is the Ramban on Dalar Mabez, who says, we Paskin Hotra. Against Reish Lakish. So the Melor Rog says, it's really Hutra, not Techuya. And the Ramban says, yeah, Reish Lakish thinks Techuya, but we passing it against Reish Lakish. We passing in Hutra. Again, the we being at least more in Yavam Stav Dalad and Beis, that's what Ramban leans towards saying. In other places in Shas, he's a little more specific about this. But if you're willing to pass it against Reish Lakish, or so Reish Lakish only Ramban, then what you're saying is really, I say, Mater lo sase, which fits in perfectly with where Rav Nisman been going, because it really should be Hutra, not Techuya. Why should it be absolute necessity? Even if it's not absolutely necessary, as long as you're doing the mitzvah, it's Hutra. Hutra the mitzvah. Or, however, these are both very, very radical minority shitas. The Melor Rogim, everyone in the world rejects the Melor Rogim. Not everyone in the world, but everyone who quotes the Melor Rogim rejects the Melor Rogim. There are many, many people who didn't live before the Melor Rogim. But everyone rejects the Melor Rogim. We paskin that. No. Me, Reish Lakish, didn't do right. Said everyone rejects this Ramban. They say probably no one argues with Reish Lakish. And even if some Amorim do argue with Reish Lakish, we follow Reish Lakish. We paskin like Reish Lakish. No one really agrees with this Ramban that we paskin against Reish Lakish. We'll have to see on the following days what each Amorim holds according to each Rishon. But what if we don't want to say either of these radical things? Then I think we really don't have a problem. We still don't have a problem. And Rav Nissimon himself, he was very happy with Reish Lakish. In this same piece that he started the whole ball rolling, he says, Umizeha Iker, and that's why Amr Zal B'Talmud, Kamakin Shatav Otsay, Siv Lo Sasen, Yochel Kaim Shnei Mutav, Yilav, Yavo Sev, Yitchis Lo Sasen. Right, he says, and that exactly fits in with Reish Lakish, fine, he has no problem with it. So I think the answer is very poshut. Not a big chiddush, I think just very pashut. That you have to say that it is dechuya, but we just have to have a different way of learning dechuya, right? The Marik says, what does dechuya mean? Dechuya means it's really an avera, but you can do it anyway. That's what dechuya means. Otherwise, it would be hutra, right? And then the people would, did I put everyone on the right? Yeah. The Rav Nissimon would have to say it's hutra by one of these two radical shitas, but you could say no. Really, everyone agrees that it's dechuya. Everyone agrees dechuya only when necessary. But if it's really that the law wasn't said in the first place, how could it be dechuya? So you have to say just very, very pashut. That dechuya doesn't mean it is an avera. Dechuya means it's just a new way of defining dechuya. Means that Hashem said, the lav doesn't apply at all when it's necessary for doing a mitzvah. Hutra means, Hashem says, the lav doesn't apply when you're doing a mitzvah. That's so true. If you're doing a mitzvah, the law doesn't apply. Maybe the chuyu also means the law doesn't apply. It's just Hashem made a fancy tanai. Instead of making a hutra tanai, what does hutra mean? Hutra means the law doesn't apply when you're doing a mitzvah. That's at least what we call hutra l'mitzvasa. Hutra l'mitzvah means when you're doing a mitzvah, the law doesn't apply. What does dechuya mean? So, dechuya, according to Arik Tzvi, means the law always applies, but it's worth it anyway. But maybe, according to Misengam, dechuya means also a tznai. It's just a tznai with one more clause in the tznai. Hashem said the law doesn't apply when it's necessary in order to do a mitzvah. So therefore, if it's necessary to violate this law to do the mitzvah, then the law doesn't apply in its, and the law doesn't apply at all. And if it's not necessary because I have another way out, then the law does apply because Hashem made it complicated tonight. So it's just a complicated tonight, in which case the difference between Hutra and Dechuya, not that Hutra is a tonight and Dechuya, Hutra is not an Avera, Dechuya is an Avera. Nor if Nizunon might say Hutra is an Avera, is not an Avera, and Dechuya is not an Avera. But Hutra is not an Avera on the tonight of you're doing a mitzvah. Dechuya is not an Avera on the tonight if it's necessary in order to do a mitzvah. I think that's a very poshut way to defend Rav Nissim Goin. And this, I think, is the yesodos of, you know, not all the details. As you can imagine, there's a trillion gazillion details. There's 30 machlokes shown in Akron about every detail of Seidot Velo Sase. It's not at all borrowed to me whether, you know, these are Pashut Nafkaminas of one Khatir or another. But this is the yesodos of Seidot Velo Sase.
Misvara, should we say that Nissim Goin should require the actual time shame more so than Dovah? We're going to say it's deny that the law doesn't apply. It makes more sense. That'd be a case where it's impossible to do it any other way. When you're saying dofa, it can be dofa over.
No, but well, how can you be dofa something that's not necessary? Dofa means it's worth doing an avera. It's only worth doing an avera if you don't have an option without doing an avera, right? It's worth doing an avera if you could have had the same result without an avera? That's crazy. I disagree. Okay, so much for our say dofa lo sase. Now, let's at least try to get a bit of a head start on Leiter in the Gemara. Because remember, where we left off was... Oh, sorry. I didn't tie it into what I promised to tie it into in the first place. What did I promise to tie it into in the first place? Was, what about the question we started with? Asay doche beis lavim. One of the questions is, asay doche tu lavim or not? It seems to me that if you held like Rav Nissim Goin, that it's a tonight and the lav never applied, shouldn't I say be able to be doka only one lav or as many lavs as you want? As many lavs as you want. What do you mean? Of course not say be doka two lavs, because it's not being doka any lav and the lavim don't apply. So then I think it's pashut that I say is doka beis lavim, which is the shita of the Pnei Yoshua and our Tosos. However, if you say, because there is no lav at all, who cares if there's one lav that's a zero or two lavim that are zero? If there's no lav at all, because Hashem made it tonight, lav doesn't apply, then Hashem made it tonight, lav one doesn't apply. He made it tonight, lav two doesn't apply. He made it tonight, lav three doesn't apply. It's really zero lavim. So then it's pashut. However, if you say, you know, like the Har Tzvi, that taka, there is an avir, but it's worth it, then it's worth it to do one lav for an say. Is it worth it? But not to do a lav with curries for an assay, right? Is it worth to do two lavim for an assay? So then we can't be sure. You could say yes, even two lavim is less than an assay. Because, you know, it's just two small, two of the same thing. Or you could say, no, one lav is worth it, but two lavim are not worth it. So then you could say, like the Minchas Chinuch, in the name of the Achronim, that no, that ain. Asay doche beis lavim. It's not machrach, because you could say no. An asay is qualitatively stronger than a lav, and therefore it's qualitatively stronger than two lav. But you could say no, an asay is quantitatively stronger than a lav. Put it on the scale, the asay tilts the lav. But two lav, it might tilt the asay. Then the Minchas Chinuch would make sense that an asay would not be doche two lavim. And that's how we got started. And that was, you know, what's... I'll be very upfront with you. What's the real reason we got into this whole lumbus? Because we're starting the sugya of Seidot Velo Sase, and we need to know the yesodos. But it was nice that we had sort of a way to get into it through this tosos.
Well, I was thinking maybe you could look at it. I was going to look at it as whether the essay is doche, it was this masa that has shnei lavim, five lavim. You have like a Marin Shabbos that, how many, you
make, yeah, sure, you eight.
With all the lavim. Maybe the question is whether we look at the onesh or we look at the masa.
Okay, that
mice is one mice, but the ramifications from the onesh might be more.
Correct. That would be another way of looking at it. That would be similar to the different way. I think it's a different way of saying, or maybe not, quantitative adifas or qualitative adifas.
We don't know the word.
Yeah, it's docha a mice of a lav, or is it docha the lav? And if it's docha the lav, then not two. If it's docha the mice of the lav, then a mice is a mice. Correct. Okay, now let's just go on a little in the Gemara. The Gemara says, remember, until the Haman Beis were answering the first question, how do you know I see the Ovelos Aseh? Before we get on to Karis. So the Gemara says, on top of Daf Dalet, Dichsiv lo silba shatn is bilin tasalach, because it says, shatn is next to tzitzis. But I remember Lodz smuch and Meritori 9, Shinar smuch la ad lo olo asuim emet yosher. Remember Lodz darshins from a pasuk in Tehillim that this is, okay, depending on your orientation. You may or may not be familiar with this pasuk from Shabbos Mincha, but the pasuk is smuchan la'ad lo'olam emes v'yosher. Yeah, it is not simple shuvah shel mikra of this pasuk, but the drash of the pasuk, the principle smuchan, which is eternal and true and a very important principle. So that means that if two things are next to each other, then that's a then we have to learn a halacha from that, right? And therefore we have to learn the halacha that Sitzis is docha shatnis, and once sitzis is docha shatnis, through the principle of binyanav, we say all asays docha los asays. That is the first answer. It'll sort of end up being the last answer as well. But now they go on to a bit of a tangent. They bring one example of this smuchin. Va'amr of sheishes amr lozim shom amr lozim azari even nine levam shenafel lemuka shchin she'in chos minosa. How do we know, right? The yavam, her husband, she had the best husband in the world, but unfortunately, her husband died. There were no kids, and his brother is the worst guy in the world. The classic example here of the worst guy in the world is a mukashchin, right? The full of boils all over. I guess nowadays we probably don't have that because I assume the doctors can help you with that. But in those days, that was as bad as it gets. There's equivalents nowadays. You know, where Moshe writes in one place that certainly equivalent of a mukashchin nowadays is a drug addict, right? That's about as bad as it gets in terms of shiduchim. So, the how do we know you don't muzzle her? She says, what are you talking about? It's very nice, this whole parasha like v'hakim she'machav al nach laso, but give me a break. So how do we know that we don't say, no, a mitzvah is a mitzvah, stop caring about your taivas, and we don't muzzle her. Okay, the parsha is next to Losachzim Shorvadisho. Through the principle of smuchim, we learn a halachic principle, right? It's not just a nice, cute drush about, like, you know, I don't know if you need this. Cute drush, how did Korach rebel against Moshe? He put on this talus, etc. Okay, that's a cute drush. That I don't think we need a Gemara to prove. But here it's an actual halacha. There's halachic nafgamina. The havmina is we would, you know, figuratively muzzle her, meaning we would squash her tainus. How do we know that we respect her tainus and we follow her tainus? From the drasha, from the smuchin of Losachim Shorvadisho to the parsha of Yibam. Now, here we just have a bit of a machlokas rishonim as to exactly what this halacha means in Chos Nusa, right? This is a real halacha, it's not a story. So what is the actual halacha lemaisa if the Yavama comes and says, I don't want to marry this guy because of Mukeshkin, etc.? So Rashi says, what does it mean in Chos Minosa? Oh, how many shitas are there in the Rishonim? How many different shitas are there in the Rishonim as to what this halacha means? Three. Let's start with three. Three shitas in the Rishonim. Right? The three shitas in the Rishonim are, right, basically, do we treat the Yavama like a regular wife? Does she have more rights? Right? She better off than a regular wife, or is she worse off than a regular wife? Okay. Who wants to tell me which one Rashi holds? Not just Rashi here. Right, where does Rashi here say? Ain't chos minosah, ain't sot mentanosah. He tells us something, but not his whole shita. L'chufa l'syavim. We don't force her to do yibam. Ela kovet also v'cholet. Right? We don't force her to do yibam. Rather, we force him to do chalitza. Right, this is just like a get. I mean, nowadays not so common for whatever reason. But if there's a good reason, I'll pi halacha, then they're allowed to force. I know nowadays, like, you're not allowed to force someone to give a get. But if there's a valid reason, I'll pi halacha, bezin is allowed to force someone to give a get. So if there's a valid reason al pi halacha, they're allowed to force someone to do chalitza. So we force him to do chalitza. That's what it means. What's the chiddush of we don't muzzle her? Again, it doesn't. The chiddush is that we literally don't muzzle her when we let her talk. Okay, there's free speech. Any litigant in Beis Din is allowed to say their taina. It means that we actually do exactly what she says, and we call for him to do chalitza. Okay, but what's the real chiddush of Rashi that he adds in Daf Lamed Tes? Not just mukeshchen, but any, what does he call a good taina? What's his word? Any amasla, any good taina, right? What's the chiddush? The chiddush is, let's go to ignoring the Rambam for now. Let's go to regular dine ishus, right? If the husband is a mukeshchen or has a mum gadol, then we force him to give a get. What if she just has a good explanation, but it's not the end of the world? It's not the end of the world. There are lots of nice people like this, and lots of people live happily, ba'osher ba'osher ad me'eva esrim. But she tainas, you know what, Taka, he's, you know, I don't know, he's a Galatianer, and I'm a Litvak, and I thought it maybe would work out, but I realize I can't live with a Galatianer. That reminds me of a funny story, but I don't want you, Tori, you can't say all the funny stories. Whatever she says, you know, my husband, he works till 8 o'clock every night. He got a job, he works till 8 o'clock every night, he refused to quit the job, and I can't handle someone who works till 8 o'clock every night. That's a valid time, no? We can understand it. And she gives all the explanations why, but it's not the end of the world, right? So what's the din? We're not kofa him legarish in such cases. Only kofa legarish if it's mukashkin and a real mum gadol. If it's an amasla, she's a reasonable taina, then what do we say? We say, go for marriage counseling. We say, I don't know. We say, let's see if we can do arbitration or mediation or something. I guess mediation. But no kofa legarish if she just has an amasla. She needs to have a taina mukracha. She needs to have a mum gadol. Taina is mum gadol in order to be kofa. In order to be kofeh legarish. That's why nowadays, right, the Beis Din, why nowadays the Beis Din hardly ever forces the man to give a get. Once in a blue moon, you read in the papers, right, the Dayan of Eretz Yisrael, I don't mean the Chutzlarts. In the Chutzlarts, why the Beis Din of America not force someone to give a get? Because there's freedom of religion. You can't force someone to do anything. But in Eretz Yisrael and all the other countries in the world besides America, where there's no freedom of religion, why doesn't, you know, Lord Jonathan Sachs or, you know, Rav Amar or whatever chief rabbi you have, put people in jail for not giving a get? Once in a blue moon they do, you read about it in the newspaper. But because you can only force a man to give a get if she has a taina, a big taina of an absolute mum, a taina mukrachas. And not if she just has an amasla good explanation. I'm sure 80% of the time she comes in and the dayanim listen and they're nice people and they hear her taina and they say, yeah, we understand where you're coming from. That's taka. We sympathize with you. We understand where you're coming from. But the halacha is we can't force a get unless you have a taina on the level of mukashchin. And especially since, you know, what happens is every 20 years, every door that passes between the time that they finished writing the Talmud Bavli nowadays, we get more and more cloudy about exactly what they meant and exactly how to interpret the Gemara, and we have more sfeikos in halacha. Therefore, what happens is every door that went since Ravina Ravashi to nowadays, we're a little more masufik about exactly what time you can be kofa get for. And therefore, when we're masufik, we're not kofa get because we don't want to have a get puzzle and have the chumra of Ishus Ishim Amzeiros. And that's why nowadays you can hardly ever be kofa get. I think everyone agrees nowadays Chazal would have been kofa get 10 times more than nowadays. But no one's sure in exactly which cases they would and wouldn't have because we lost the Masorah over the generations. And that's why nowadays we hardly ever do it. But Rashi says that's for a get. But for a chalitza, there's a gzeiros hakasav of Lo Sasam Shor B'Disho. What's the gzeiros of Lo Sasam Shor B'Disho? Lo Sasam Shor B'Disho is teaching us that you're kofar for mukashchin only? No, he says. That's obvious. Obviously we're kofar mukashchin. We're kofar get for mukashchin, right? That's Ishus Ish, that we're kofar. So here it's a lava. We'll see Ishus Ish, Chutzul Ish Zar. Obviously we're kofar. The chiddush of the pasuk is, again, at least this is a pshat way of reading Rashi. If you look at the Rivashim and Reish Tes, if you're interested, you could find a different way. And that's what he says right here. He says that Daf Lamed Testament base, hey chudut savi libuin v'i omer lo be'inale. He wants to be even. She says no.
And she gives a reasonable time. She can't just say, no, because, you know, I'm not so firm and I don't like doing this, say of Yibam. Or no, because I think this is an old-fashioned idea and I don't hold from it anymore. You know, or no, because, you know, there's more fish in the sea. That's not a valid, but she has a time that, no, Taka, this guy's not the seder for her. That's a Gemara later on. If we can fool him into giving a get, it's always better to fool him than to force him. It makes things a lot simpler. Say, give her a get, I'm not sure give you $1 million. And Taka, the halacha works out that she doesn't have to give him $1 million. Sorry, give her chalitza. I'm not sure give you $1 million, and she'll never give $1 million, and the chalitza will be good. So that's a special rule that Tanai is not chal on chalitza. Vilo, but if, what if he's smart? What if nowadays he is a lawyer, so he knows all the tricks? Then, kafina leve chalitza, the amr of sheish, minayin, the bum shenop, the mukashkin, shein chos, musa. Right, velotei mukashkin davcha, elo kol amasla shita in ledvar becha. Right, don't say in davdalim and davcha mukashkin, I meant all amasla. Why? Because the chorid is a chiddish, they're more than a regular wife. The chiddish is a regular wife only mukashkin, but the, shaloyi kato chomer min ha'ikar. But the Yavama, so one shot is, Rashi, that we're kofeh him to be choleitz, right? For any amasla, now we understand. The havamina is, she's like a regular wife, right? Like a regular wife. And kamashvalan, or maybe even not, but in any case, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is even where we, I'm not gonna, wouldn't be kofeh a get. That's the big chiddush, this drasha for Rashi. Okay, that's Rashi shita. However, that is not most Rishonim. Tosos right there in Daf Lamed Tesvav Beis already argues on Rashi, and all the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. The Ramban and Makos argues on Rashi. The Meiri here argues on Rashi. The Ritva and Makos argues on Rashi. And it seems to me that even the Rambam argues on Rashi. Now, the Rambam has an interesting shita, which throws a monkey wrench into here. What's the interesting shita of the Rambam? Anyone know anything about all these big Gunna issues? What's the interesting shita of the Rambam?
No, it's for.
The interesting sheet of the Rambam that musale, whenever the wife doesn't like the husband, you always force a get. Right? But she loses all her money, meaning all her monetary rights. But that's not how the Rambam interprets our Gemara. Like, how can you tell when the Rambam is in the Mishnah Torah? How can you tell when he's quoting our Gemara and when he's not, but when he's quoting a different idea? You look for when he used the Lashon of the Gemara. When he used the Lashon of a certain Gemara, that means that's his shot in this Gemara. And the other halachas have shot in a different Gemara. So where did he quote our Gemara? He quotes our Gemara in very, very clearly. The Lashon is exceedingly clear. In Per Beis Halachi Yadalid, that's what I wrote down at least. Kol Yavama Sha'amarna Shadina, the Bechenu Yavama Mukashchin O Sheishu Sharmu Me'am Nashem, Kol Etzlamon Atalos Ksubasa. Right, he used the phrase of Mukashchin. He's a Mukashchin or has the other mumin that count for men as a mum gadol. Then we force him to do chalitza and pay the ksuba. So the Rambam says, no, how does he interpret our Gemara? Our Gemara is only mukashkin or sharmumi hanashim. She needs to prove he has a real mum. She can't just say a taina namasla. Coincidentally, the Rambam holds is a different din, that you can force a divorce and make her lose all her money if she has an namasla. But our Gemara means, no, you force him to chalitza and she keeps all her money. So the Rambam thinks that's only if he has a real mum, only mukashkin. So that is the shita of Tosos and the Rambam and the Meiri and the Ramban. And that's what the Ritva says at first. He says only a real mum that would justify kfiyas get. Right? Kofa lachlots. Rashi was right. We do force chalitza. But only for a mum that we would be kofeh a get for. Meaning, she's not better off than a regular married woman. She's on the exact same level as every married woman. Just like any married woman, if he is mukashkin or one of the women listed by Chazal, we would be kofeh a get. Likewise, in this case, we'd be kofeh chalitza. Okay, what's the chiddush? Chiddush is, she's just, what do you mean? A real woman who's married, b'chovah v'kidushin, eishes esh, and chiyav, you know, mises bezdin. We'd force a get because of these women.
So this woman, he never agreed to marry the guy in the first place, and it's just a yibum, and it's only shayla lav. So what's the big chiddush? Isn't it obvious that we'd be kofa get? According to this sheikh, she's just like a regular woman. What's the chiddush? Of course, she shouldn't be worse off than a married. She's a yavama, shouldn't be worse than an ashes ish. What's the chiddush? Why would you have a having if she is worse off than an ashes ish? Right, an ashes ish doesn't have a mitzvah to stay married. An ashes ish doesn't have a mitzvah. This woman has a mitzvah of yibam. So what's the havmina? Havmina is we say do the mitzvah of yibam and then sue him and we'll force him to give you a get. That's the havmina. The havmina is, of course you have the right to a divorce. But first do the mitzvah of yibam and then we'll force him to write you a get because you have a mitzvah to say. You know, in Beit Adin Lam Chaveiro, it's Pasha that we're kofahim to divorce her. Pasha, she has the right in Beit Adin Lam Chaveiro to divorce. But in Beit Adin Lam Mako, or Beit Adin Le... you know, Achim Hameis, or Baal Hameis, we might think she still is a chiv through Yibam first. So Kamashua, not, and that's the Chiddush. That's a very beforeish, not in the Tosos, but in the Meiri and the other Mishonir. Chiddush is, you might have thought that the mitzvahs asay of Yibam overrides her rights. You might have thought, yes, she has the right to a divorce in Beit Adin Chaveiro. But the mitzvah save Yibam has to come first. Whatever, whoever heard of the rule that you can't do a mitzvah save just is very unpleasant to you. You have to do a mitzvah save even if it's very unpleasant to you, right? She doesn't have to be stuck in it forever, just to be a Rishona. Remember, be a Rishona is the mitzvah, and then we'll force them to give a get. But something mitzvah say, even if it's very unpleasant, right? We know the story from Pesachim of drinking the Arba Kosos, even though you have a headache till Shavuos. So mitzvah say is very important. So let her, what's the big deal? So for one day she'll be married to this guy who she doesn't like and she has a good reason why she doesn't like. No, it's not. And then we'll force him to give again. That's the Havamina. Kamashla in the Kosman Shor B'disho. That her rights to have a reasonable choice here, if she has a good reason behind it, override the mitzvah saseh.
Wouldn't you say it's better that Chalisa is Balkarcha or Lefisi doesn't need data and to be become Lushin if it's not Balkarcha, she needs Das? So that's the difference between Chalisa, or Yibum, and her married woman already.
No, we're comparing Chalisa to a get.
A get, yeah, but the concept of this woman. Even about Karpa and Shalom and Dot, you can force her, she would have, has to have evil. Where in, by Nation C, she didn't get there by, she got there by Das, by her everything.
Ah, so you might have been, I mean, you can force Yibam, but you can't force them to stay married, because marriage is fundamentally something you agree to.
Right.
Even though by now you're stuck. Okay, I hear that. So.
Are we saying that, according to the Shonen, the Losak, sure, the Shonen, the Boker, the Mitzvah Yibam, if he would go ahead, Bob Karpa, and then Yamim her instead of
Chalitza,
or would we say that he's still
Makayim,
but it is just putting
a... No, I don't think it's Oker, it's just saying that she has the right to force him to do Chalitza. I don't think it's Oker, the Mitzvah Saseh. It's just saying she has the right to avoid, to neglect the Mitzvah Saseh.
And that, I guess, is a related question. That would be enough of a compelling reason to allow a forced Chalitza?
Yes,
because by guess, I can understand the Rambam's famous Svara of you want to do a mitzvah here, okay, there's a preference to do chalitza, but he wants to do a mitzvah.
This would be enough for a reason to do a forced chalitza, because the Torah says it's a good enough reason, then it's a mitzvah to listen to the Torah.
I mean, you could still say that it's his yitra hara that's causing the Torah to
be even. I think so. Yeah.
Is this related on the Rishol, the Shema being...
So the simple pshat is not. That's the Rivash there, as Rami. So the Rivash says, really, the machlokes king Rashi has been shown is just whether we pass like Abishol or the Chacham. If we pass like Abishol, then you know it's easier to be kofa chalitza because if she doesn't want to, but stomach is not l'shma. But I don't think that's the simple pshat. Okay, what's the third sheet? The third sheet is the Ritva. And the Rashba in Daf Lamentes, the Ritva in Makos, in his Maskana, the Rashba here in Daf Lamentes is also Maramis this way. But the third Shita is the Ritva. What is the Ritva's Chiddush in Makos? Again, Rashba says she's better off than a normal wife. The other Rishonim say she's exactly equal to a normal wife. Havmina, she's worse off because she has a mitzvah to do. Kamashma, no. This mitzvah say, because of Losachsum teaches us that when she has a bin adam lamakom right to be free from him, bin al-chaber right to be free from him, she doesn't have to worry about the mitzvah say. Okay, what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says she's worse off than a normal wife. What does the Ritva say? This means he interprets our drasha very literally. What does he say? He disagrees with all the Rishonim. What do all the Rishonim have in common? They say, Ein Chosmin means... Exactly. Ein Chosmin means before Chalitza. They just argued to before Chalitza in a lot of cases or only in a few cases. But the Ritva says no. Af l'shita zu Pirshu Rabbo Seinu. First he says, forget Rashi. You definitely don't force him to Chalitza for Stama Taino. But af l'shita zu Pirshu Rabbo Seinu zu Kopal Machlos Bugashchir V'chaver Kashali. Even the Shita most Rishonim have a problem with me. How do we pair Mitzvah Chalitza? Chalitza, this is a big problem because we actually look in pair Mitzvah Chalitza. He doesn't seem to have any taina unless he had a different girsa. Okay, but Chalitza Mutes Kshera, it sounds like a good taina until you look it up and see, at least argues in the Gemara. It's not. Chalitza Mutes Kshera, get Mutes Pasol. Chalitza Mutes Psula, get Mutes Kshera. The Ha, Al Karkin, it says a forced Chalitza is Pasol and a forced get is Kasher. What does that mean? Even when you're allowed a force to get, you're not allowed a force Chalitza. Right? A forced get is kosher if it's a mukashchen. So that proves a forced chalitza is possible even if he's a mukashchen. The problem is that in argus the Gemara asks this question and gives a different answer. Where it says, oh no, the difference in get and chalitza is not a real difference. It really means something else. So they reinterpret this brisa. But okay, apparently you have the gear so that this is a valid brisa kipshuto. But taima, what's the reason? Mishum de yibam. Right, b'yavam tala rachmanim lo yachta esh v'chuli l'chacha yinira lida afilu m'gashkin lo karmer elo she'en chosmen osa she'en nizkakin l'yavam lakuf osa lis yavim lo v'ladin osa v'moredes v'lakuf osa lachlot enko from the olam elamatim. What does the Ritva say? The Ritva says, we never kofe lachlot. What does our drasha mean? Our drasha just means, in the most literal sense, what it means. Minayish ein chosmen osa. It just means that we don't, right, force her to do yibam. That's all it means. It doesn't mean we don't force her to do chalitza. It means we don't force her to do yibam. We leave them in limbo forever. Now, what are the other Rishonim? They'll say, what do you mean? If you leave them in limbo forever, that's forcing her to do yibam because she can't marry anyone else, so she's stuck. The Ritva says, no, no, no. Like, why do everyone think it means kofen lachlotz? Because if you don't get her a chalitza, then she's stuck because she can't marry anyone else in the world. The Ritva says, no, no, take it very literally. So they say, common sense, come on. The only way to really free her is to give her a chalitza. Otherwise, you're muzzling her because she's not allowed to marry anyone else. The Ritva says, no, I'll take it very literally. She's stuck forever. She's not gonna forever. She can't marry anyone else. It just means you don't force her to do yibam. Right? The havamina is, again, same havamina, right? Kiddush is, you might think that we force her to do the mitzvah. After all, it's a mitzvah say. Didn't we just discuss in the last inyan how you force them to do mitzvah say? Kamashling, you don't force her to do yibam. Right? You don't, how would you force a girl to do yibam? Right, they have a rule, kosher when he gets married. You would issue a psak din against her if she refused to do yibam, and then you would put financial penalties on her, and you would knas her a lot of money. There are ways to force a woman to do yibam, right? I mean, they wouldn't like mamish pick her up and force her, but they would use financial leverage and fines to force her to do yibam. Kamash, well, you don't force her to do yibam, but she's still not free. She's still in a gunna because you don't force him to do chalitza also. Oh, why don't you force him to chalitza? After all, it's clearly fair for her to not marry him, right? That's clear. Lein chosmin shor b'disho. Clearly, she's a good taina. So if she's a good taina, then why don't we force him to chalitza if she's a good taina, right? That's all the Rishonim say. Once the Torah tells us she's in the right and he's in the wrong, so of course we force him to chalitza. We know who's right here, right? Usually in real life cases in Bez Din, you don't know who's right and who's wrong. Everyone argues. Here, the Torah tells us who's right. So why don't we force him to chalitza? So the Ritva says, we would like to force him to chalitza. But we can't. Why? Why can't we force him to do chalitza? Because there's a special din that chalitza... He says we can try to fool him into doing chalitza. That's a different story. There's a special din that chalitza cannot be forced because the Torah says, the yavam tal yirachmana in lo yachpots ha'ish. The Torah says it's up to him and he can't be forced. So, but the Ritva apparently holds that because there's a special Zeres HaKasov that you can't force Chalitza, because it says Im lo yachpotza ish lakacha says yivim tov, also yivim tov ashara, etc. That it's only up to him if he doesn't want to do yivim, there's such thing as chalitza. And therefore, the Torah says it's up to him. This tiny of the Ritva is a little weak. Why is this tiny of the Ritva a little weak? Because what did it say by a get? Anyone? Anyone ever read the Chumash? What did it say by a get? V'haya? Im lo simtzachin be'enav. Right? V'chosav, etc. V'chosav l'sev v'krisos. By get also it says it's up to him, and yet we say we can force him. So chalitza is also up to him. Why can't we say we can force him? So apparently the difference is that by get, right? By get, the Torah says that, you know, in meaning, if he decides he doesn't want to be married to her anymore, okay, but we can force him to decide that. But I think what they were saying is by chalitza, what's different about chalitza? It's not just that it's up to him. In lo yach bo tzeish lachach zivimto. Chalitz is only valid. Me'ein yavami lahakim lachim shein v'yisrael. Chalitz is only valid if the yavam, it's not, he doesn't just have to agree to do chalitza. It's only valid if he chooses not to do yavam. Right? If he doesn't do yavam, what's the whole point of chalitza? The whole point of chalitza is insulting him because he refused to do yavam. So over here what it's saying is that, it's not just everything yavam tal rachmana. Every chalos in the Torah, the Torah gave you free will, and yet sometimes we force you, it's valid for all the svaras that we can go into. But I think he's saying that by Yibam, I think, by Chalitza, in lo yachzor zakhani mimto, Chalitza is only valid because he chose not to do Yibam. But if she chose not to do Yibam, and the Bezdin chose not to do Yibam, then the Chalitza is undercut in the first place to the whole Chalos, the whole Mahur of Chalitza, the whole Chetza even of Chalitza, is that he didn't want to do Yibam. But if he did want to do Yibam, then how can you have a parsha of Chalitza? The parsha of Chalitza only applies if he doesn't want to do Yibam. So you never get off the ground in the first place. The Torah made it up to him, depending on whether he wants to do Yibam or not, there's Chalitza. And I think that's really maybe what the Ritva has in mind. Darshan, in any case, we've seen here three sheets as an analogy of the Gemara. Either Rashi's better off than every girl, than every wife, rather. Xeris Akasav on any Amas that we force Chalitza, or Moshe Shonim. She's the equivalent of regular Ebenezer, as a regular marital law. Just don't think a Havmini, she always has to do the mitzvah. No, we use the regular rules of marital conflicts here. And the Ritva says, no, 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 you can never force Chalitza. You haven't talked about it. There is no such thing as forcing Chalitza. Must mean here a very dachic way of reading it. We don't force her to do Yibam, but she's still stuck because we don't force him to do Chalitza.
What happens when all the brothers die?
Then she's free. But, I mean, that will take a long time. I mean, unless she, you know, unless she has the right connections, you know, if she's, if she's from the Italian Jewish community, then she'll be better off. The Ritva thinks even Kofos Adji Omer Rotsa, he wouldn't help here. Right, that could very, we can force him to want to do what he's doing, but we can't force him to have wanted to do something else or not. That's a nice way of putting what I was trying to add. Okay, we'll not be able to cover just the last thing that I maybe was overly ambitious for. I would like to, we have some time today. I think our next day of Seder is going to be Monday. But I'd like to see if we could be Ms. Diaries. How much can we cover in Seder between now and Monday at 11:30? At least something. Let's say we will have regular scheduled shiur to start with the Zman at 11:30 on Monday, even though it's the first day of Zman. I did make a new Makora sheet, so we didn't finish the last couple lines on this one. And there's a new Makora sheet. And let's, at least try to look at the Tosfos and Tosfos Shana, whatever, on the daf. But we will pick up, take a new Makora sheet, please. We'll pick up Mir Tzashem Monday, Isru, however many Isru Chag, depending on who you are. Mir Tzashem at the regular scheduled time of 11:30. And I will wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova, and we should Mir Tzashem all be inscribed or sealed. Rather, for a year of Hatzlacha in learning and all our other endeavors, and it should be a year of Shalom and Soros Tovos.
for all of Klal Yisrael.
Please help yourself with a copy of this, and if we could have one.